Let's go ahead and get our Bibles open to Ecclesiastes chapter number 9 tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter number 9, as we've been going through the book of Ecclesiastes, we do not have a lot that's left. And I'm excited about finishing up and excited about jumping into another book here soon. But Ecclesiastes chapter number 9, and we're going to finish up the chapter tonight. And it's kind of strange. There isn't as many people out here, which is okay. I understand. And talking to those people that are on the camera, look, you know, live streaming through, that we miss you and you want you to come back. We also want you to be comfortable. I am thankful, to my knowledge, no one's called me and told me, hey, I tested positive for COVID. And that's, you know, we had, for those 3 or 4 weeks, we did have some cases, I think probably 7 or 8 that was confirmed cases. And so I know it took our attendance and it went down a little bit. But I'm hoping and praying everybody's still watching on TV or the computer screen or the telephone or whatever it is that they use. And it's an important thing. Man, it's so easy to get out of church and missing it and not being faithful and just not seeing the importance of it. Church is important. Being at a church, watching church, it's important to hear the Word of God and let God speak to your hearts. So the title of tonight's message is Wisdom is Better Than. And it says dot, dot, dot. Two different places in this passage of scripture. It says wisdom is better than strength. It says it once. Then it says wisdom is better than weapons of war. And I don't know what that is in your life that you pursue after. Maybe it's money. And, you know, wisdom's better than money. Wisdom's better than fame. Wisdom's better than, and the Bible talks about that. And Solomon here in the story kind of gives a, he gives him in under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, obviously, he gives us a story. Some people consider it a parable. Some people just consider it an illustration. And he teaches them an important lesson about how wisdom is used, how wisdom helps, but also how wisdom many times is not appreciated. Now, don't get me wrong, there are sometimes I don't appreciate some people's wisdom. It's because it's not biblical. And there are some people that like to put their noses in people's business, and as they're putting their noses in people's business, their interest is not to put God in the equation. The interest is not to try to help the situation, but instead to maybe stir it up a little bit. And we got to be careful with that. That's not wisdom. And as I've been studying through the book of Ecclesiastes, I've been always wondering and interested in what is a good definition for wisdom. And I think for me, as I'm learning this, as I'm studying through it and looking through the book of Proverbs, wisdom is putting God in the equation, but not just only putting God in the equation, it's putting God first. No matter what the situation is, whatever you come across, wherever you come from, it's putting God in your thought process. You know, how am I going to raise my kids? What does God say? How am I going to use my finances? How am I going to serve? How am I going to behave? How, you know, what makes it wise is when you put God in the equation. And not only just putting him in the equation, it actually talks about putting him first. What is the beginning of wisdom? It's the fear of the Lord. So as I consider God and as I fear the Lord, then it's something that I understand that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So let's go ahead and read this little story that's found here. Some really interesting things in here. I pray that it be a help and an encouragement to you tonight. And we'll jump in that wisdom is better than. The Bible says in verse number 13, chapter number 9, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 13, this wisdom have I seen also under sun, and it seemed great unto me. And then here comes the story. There was a little city and a few men within it. And there came a great king against it, and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. Now, there was found in it, talking about the city, a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, yet no man remembered the same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. So what the scriptures are saying here is, you know what? There's something that's more valuable, something that's better, something that's more important than anything else, and it's wisdom. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you give us strength and help us to stay focused and get an understanding of what's trying to be said here. Lord, we need you. We want you. We desire you. And Lord, help us understand what true wisdom is you. It's finding you and finding your will and understanding what you want us to do in your life. Lord, speak to people's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was looking, I came across, where are the really smart people supposed to be at? It's college, right? At least that's what they say. Do you know why most colleges were began? Most colleges here in America were began under Christian principles. It's amazing how people say that we weren't founded on Christian as a Christian nation, because if you look back in the beginning times of our nation and when they began to institute colleges, most of them, if not all, just a few, had some Christian principles that were put in there. And you think about it, what was the purpose of colleges back then? And I'd like to read a little bit that I found that I thought was interesting. It says, the study of the first American educational institutions will reveal a commitment to the spread of the gospel via Christian academics. Via Christian academics. 106 of the 108 colleges formed in America were formed by Christians and built upon Christian principles. Before the Civil War, scarcely half a dozen colleges were established without a commitment to biblical and Christian principles, and most of the presidents of Christian colleges were even pastors, or what they would call clergymen. The deep evangelical convictions of the Christian founders of the American education have been etched into various and numerous places. Perhaps none of them has said more than in Harvard and in its original rules and precepts. And I want you to think about one of the rules and precepts of those that went to Harvard. We know as Harvard today, Harvard College back then, the second point in their rules and their precepts was this: let every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well the main end of his life. And studies is to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life. And John 17:3 gives the reference there. And therefore to lay Christ in the bottom as the only foundation of all sound knowledge and learning. And seeing the Lord only giveth wisdom, let everyone seriously set himself by prayer and the secret to seek him. Now, you think about what's being said here. They're saying that Jesus is the foundation, and that as one of the rules and precepts to be a student there, they had to seek the Lord in prayer. Number three, everyone shall so exercise himself in reading the scriptures twice a day, that he shall be ready to give such an account of his proficiency therein, both in theoretical observations of the language and logic and practical and spiritual truths, as his tutor shall require. According to his ability, seeing the entrance of the word giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple, that they, excusing all profanation of God's names, attributes, word, ordinance, and times of worship, do study with good conscience, carefully to retain God, and the times of worship do study with good conscience, and the love and the truth in their minds, else to let them know. Notwithstanding their learning, God may give them up to strong delusions, and in the end, to a reprobate mind. So what the scripture is saying here is, the college, what did it first start off with? It started off with what? It's supposed to have Christian principles and Christian worship. Now listen to Harvard's today, their mission. It's much different. It says, beginning in classrooms is exposure to new ideas, new ways of understanding, new ways of knowing. Students embark on a journey of intellectual transformation. Through a diverse living environment where students live with people who are studying different topics, who are from different walks of life, and have evolving identities, intellectual transformation is deepened and conditions for social transformation are created. From this, we hope students will begin to fashion their lives by gaining a sense of what they want to do with their gifts and talents, and accessing their values and interests, and learning how they can best serve the world. So here's the thing. What they started out as was a Christian principle, Christian guides, Christian this, Christian that. You know, they were required to pray. They were required to study the Bible. Now they're saying, hey, look, our purpose in life is try to get everybody to think in a diverse fashion. They want everybody to think in a fashion and that is according to way that they can learn from one another and to grow from one another. And I see here what the beginning of the higher institutions was. It was established to teach moral discernment. They were established to prepare people to make right decisions and do right actions in the day and time that they lived in. Say, Pastor, this seems a little dry. But here's the point. Is back then, they said, we want to teach you how to, by morals, by the word of God, to make decisions. Today, they tell you, you don't even need to listen to the Bible. Back then, they were trying to teach you wisdom. They were trying to put God in the equation, and they were trying to say, hey, look, seek after God, search his word, all those different things, and guess what happened? Something changed. Now, if you go back and you study, some people say, oh, when did the changes really start happening? Well, I think when they introduced evolution and began teaching evolution, and at least the thought process of evolution began entering into colleges and things like that, it changed a lot of things. But here, it's showing us what's happening in the world that we live in. We live in a nation today that calls right wrong and wrong right. We think about the verses that says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We live in a nation today that is full of people that have reprobate people that are leading people. You think about the college classrooms today, many times the professors, they mock Christianity, they mock God, many atheists are there, and they are trying to persuade and change the thinking and mindset of the people, that and the young people that have been entrusted to them. And that what they're doing is they're calling evil good and good evil, and they're causing people to have a reprobate mind and causing people to be oblivious to a passage like this. And when it's saying, hey, look, there's something better in this world than power, there's something better in this world than wars, weapons of war, it's wisdom. Remember, wisdom is putting God first. And in our hearts and life, how often do we put him first? How often do we say, okay, God, I'm making a decision when it comes to this part of my life. Am I putting God in my equation? Why do I come to church? Hey, I come to church because this is where God wants me. Why do I want to read his word? It's because I need wisdom. And he tells us to read it and meditate and memorize it. What is it that happens in our lives? We should seek after wisdom. So let's look at this story a little bit. And then I want to compare it to another Bible story. And then we'll jump in here and think about a couple things when it comes to wisdom. Look what it says in verse 14. There was a little city and a few men within it. And I want you to think about this. Picture yourself here. There's a little city there. And there's a war going to happen. It says, and there came a great king against it. Now, I can imagine that you think about maybe a little city or a little village, and there's not very many people there, and then they're surrounded by this great nation. They're coming, and they're coming to war. And as they come to war, it says king against it. They besieged it. They built things. Verse number 15, now, there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Now, the people inside the city were no match. And you think about it, strength. If those guys, those few guys, would have took up their swords, they would have took up their spears, and they would have went full force after this great king and this great kingdom and this great army, what would have happened? They would have all lost their life. But what the scripture is saying here is saying, look, there was a wise man inside the city that by his wisdom was able to help deliver the city. There was no hope for the city, but when this wise man and they listened to the wise man, they were able to deliver the hope that came from the city. But look what it says at the end of verse 15. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. What does it mean? It says, they took his wisdom, but nobody remembered him. Let's keep on going. Verse 16. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised. And you think about what the scripture is saying here. If you're a person that has wisdom, sometimes people aren't going to like it. Sometimes people aren't going to listen to it. And there are a number of times when I've tried to reach out and try to help people and try to express biblical wisdom to them, and they want nothing to do with it. Here's truth. This is what truth is. And they despise the wisdom. You ever been there before where you're trying to help somebody, you're trying to give them wisdom, and you're trying to give them encouragement and trying to tell them to put God in their thinking, put God in the equation, and what do? They ignore it. I think we've all been to a spot where we're trying to help somebody with understanding and with truth and things like that, and they just want nothing to do with it. And that's why Solomon is saying, look, this city or this village, it was relieved, it was delivered because of this man's wisdom. But it says that once they used it, they despised him, and his words are not heard. Verse 17, the words of the wise man are heard and quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. The words of the wise man are heard and quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. And then it says, wisdom is better than the weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. Let's try to make application for today. We live in a world that's crazy, it seems like. We live in a world where when it says in verse number 17, it says, and then him that ruleth among fools. You know, there's the cry of him that ruleth fools. There's a lot of people out there yelling. A lot of people out there shouting. A lot of people wanting your attention. A lot of people saying, hey, this is what's right. And they say some of the stupidest things I've ever heard in my life. I can't even believe that they believe what they're saying. Sometimes I think it's for shock value. So that way, when they say something that's not so bad, you say, okay, well, I can buy that. I can't buy the craziness, but I can. And that's what's happening. It seems like the world is spiraling farther and farther down because they're listening to fools. They're listening to people who are yelling and listening to people who are screaming. They're listening to people who are rioting, at least for the causes they want. And they're waving their fists and they're burning things and they're doing this and they're doing that to try to prove a point that is illogical and prove a point that is wrong. And they're coming to the point that those that are wise, those who have delivered the city, those who have built a nation that fear God and love God, their wisdom is being despised. Their wisdom is being turned away from. Their wisdom is being something that is shunned. As it says here at the end, it says his words are not heard in verse number 16. No matter if the truth is found and it can be proven, people don't want to hear it. They don't want the truth. They don't want wisdom. They don't want things that are wise. They rather listen to those that are crying out and they're yelling, hey, this is what's right. It seems like whoever's yelling the loudest or whoever's willing to put as much emphasis on a certain area, that's who's getting the attention. They don't want anything to do with wisdom. Say, Pastor, how am I supposed to live in this day and time? And I think it's found here a little bit. Even though it might mean that we're quiet, even though it might mean that we're despised, we need to be people that have wisdom. We need to be people that are going to help. The only thing that is going to deliver a nation from certain judgment or certain continual downward spiral to horrible things is those who are willing to seek the Lord. Those who are willing to be wise. Those who are willing to pray and go after the Lord and seek him with all our heart, seek him with all our love and all our mind and all our thoughts. That is what's going to help this nation. That is what's going to make a difference. It might seem like around us there is some great army that's out there and it seems like they're coming after and trying to attack some small thing and there is no hope, but there is wisdom that can be found. I thought a little bit about this. I was trying to find what Bible story Solomon could be talking about or something that's similar to this. And there is a little bit of a similarity. It's not the same one, but there is a story about a lady by her wisdom helped deliver a village or a city. Let's take our Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 16, 2 Samuel chapter 20. In 2 Samuel chapter number 20, there's a story about a man named Sheba who rebelled against David. And as Sheba is fleeing from Joab, David's general, he fled into a place called Abel. Once again, in 2 Samuel chapter 20. And when Joab followed this man into the village at Abel, he's going to destroy the whole village so he can find this man Sheba. And while he is there, and before they enter into the city, or before they begin the destruction as they're searching for it, there is a woman that comes out and greets him, or at least speaks to him. Look what it says in 2 Samuel chapter 20. Let's look in verse 16. Then cried where this word is, a wise woman out of the city. He said, hear, say, I pray unto Joab, come near hither, that I may speak with thee. And when he was come near unto her, the woman said, art thou Joab? And he answered, I am he. And then she said unto him, hear the words of thine handmaid. And he answered, I do hear. Then she spake, saying, they were wont to speak in old times, saying, they shall surely ask counsel at Abel. And so they ended the matter. I am one of them that are peaceable and faithful in Israel. Thou seekest to destroy a city and a mother in Israel. why will thou swallow up the inheritance of the Lord? And Joab answered and said, far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy. The matter is not so, but a man of Mount Ephraim, Sheba, the son of Bichri, by name, have lifted up his hand against the king, even against David. Deliver him only, and I will depart from the city. And the woman said unto Joab, behold, his head shall be thrown to thee over the wall. And the woman went unto all the people in her wisdom, and they cut off the head of Sheba, the son of Bichri, and cast it out unto Joab, and he blew a trumpet, and they retired from the city, every man to his tent, and Joab returned to Jerusalem unto the king. He said, what does that, similar in the story. He said, what do you see here? I see a woman here who you want on your side. I see a woman who you want in your camp. I see a woman who's wise. I don't really know if you want her for a wife, if she's willing to chop somebody's head off, but, you know, I think she would do a good job. She'd be a wise lady here. He said, I'm saying that inside this city, you imagine, David's coming. David's army's coming. Joab's coming. David's army that has destroyed many, many nations that are around. There is a large group that is coming into this little village, and they're there, and they're ready to find this man, Sheba. They don't care who they conquer in the way. They don't care who they knock over. They don't care who they kill. They don't care what they destroy. And this woman hears this, and the woman says, hey, can I talk to Joab first? And he said, Joab, and he says, you're going to destroy everything here. And he's like, No, I don't care about the city. All I want you to do is I want you to take, and I want this man, Sheba. And taking this man, Sheba, he can go ahead, and she says, okay, we'll cut his head off, we'll throw it over to you, and then it'll be over. I know it sounds like a kind of a little bit of a crude story, but the reality is that lady delivered that village from being destroyed. Just like this man in Ecclesiastes, you want to go back to Ecclesiastes chapter number 9, he delivered his village or his city because he was wise. Now, this person here, this woman was probably not revered. This woman probably wasn't looked up to. This woman was not probably somebody that they would go to for wisdom, but she had the wisdom. Just like this old poor man, he might not have had the riches. He definitely didn't have the strength. He probably didn't have the weapons of war. He was probably someone that was there, an old poor man, but what does he have? He has wisdom. And I want you to understand, in the day and time that we live in, we might not have much. We might not have the strength that we used to have. We might not have the weapons of warfare to be able to attack all the things that are happening around us and physically go out and make a huge difference, but something that we can have and that we can attain is something that can help deliver us and deliver a nation, or at least find out what God's will is during this time that we live in, and that is wisdom. So here's a couple things I want you to think about this. I imagine this army coming up to this village, and you know, the village is worried, it's scared, it doesn't know what to do, getting ready to lose everything. And this woman says, I'll deal with it. And I tell you, in the day and time, we don't know what's going to happen in this world. We have people making so much rash decisions and rash, and we don't know what to do. That's why we need to hear from God. We need to put God in the equation. Not only do we need to put him in the equation, he needs to be first, and we need to make sure he is something that we fear. So here's a couple things. First thing I want you to think about, wisdom is not often appreciated. Wisdom is not often appreciated. And what does that big verse that most of us know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. I want you to understand that just because you're wise, just because you have biblical knowledge, does not mean someone's going to listen. Some things don't mean anything to anyone. They don't want truth. They don't want to hear it. They want to listen to the people that are telling them what they want to hear. And I want to encourage you today, don't give up on wisdom. Don't give up on thinking like God thinks. Don't give up seeking after God. Don't give up seeking his word. Don't give up just because the rest of the world may despise it. And just because the rest of the world might count you as a fool. Just because the rest of the world is only going to come to you when they need you. Just because the rest of the world is going to laugh at you and they're going to mock you and they're going to call Christianity a crutch and they're going to call, it doesn't matter what any of them say. It matters whether or not you're close to the Lord and whether or not you have this wisdom. Because this wisdom that only comes from God is the only thing that's going to help your family. Wisdom is the only thing that's going to help build your church. Wisdom is the only thing that is going to help this nation in the long run. And it will not be appreciated. Second thing I want you to think about is not only wisdom is not often appreciated, the second thing is wisdom is precious. Wisdom is precious. We've talked about this before. If you could picture one thing that was really, really valuable, one thing that was super expensive and super this or super that, you know what? The Bible pretty much covered it all and say, you know what? Wisdom's much more valuable than that. Wisdom is so much more valuable than money. Wisdom is more valuable than precious jewels. In Proverbs chapter 3, it says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise is better than the merchandise of silver and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto it. You know, what the Bible is saying, think about that thing that is most valuable in your life, and wisdom is more valuable. It's more precious. Proverbs 8:11, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. You cannot compare anything that you would desire in this world to what you can have in wisdom. And he said, Pastor, I know what you're saying there. You named some pretty powerful things there. If I had some money, rubies, this and that, I'd be okay. But you think about it. The Bible's saying that these things don't even compare to it. But I don't know about you. Maybe you have some gold. I have a little bit of gold right here. At least I hope it's real. A jeweler told me it was real. I don't have much gold, and I know they tell you you're supposed to maybe collect gold and silver and precious jewels. I don't have a lot of those things. And really, I don't have means to obtain those things. But the great thing about wisdom is it's available. Gold is really precious today. Silver this past week went up. Now, whether silver in the markets and things like that, whether silver was one of the schemes that they're doing with the GME or the schemes that they're doing with the other stocks like AMC, or it was just, it spiked up, and it hasn't spiked up for years because it's a precious metal. Gold is a precious, you know, the reason why these things cost so much is because they're precious. But the Bible says that those things may not be attainable, but you know something that's more valuable is right there for the asking. Wisdom is something the Bible says is available. Not only is it often unappreciated, not only is it precious, but it's available. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. You know, it's there and it's available. God is saying, here, I'm here to help you. And you know what? It's more valuable than this. I don't know about you. I wouldn't mind having some more gold. Wouldn't mind having some more silver. Wouldn't mind having some rubies. I have no way to get those things. I'm not going mining somewhere. I got other things to do. But God says this wisdom that many times is not appreciated, it's available to you. And it's more precious than anything else. The Bible says, so teach us a number of days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Last but not least, I want you to think about wisdom has a purpose. Wisdom has a purpose. So what's wisdom's purpose in her life? Well, you see in these two verses to begin with, you see here that wisdom delivers a city. Wisdom delivered a city or a village of Abel. Wisdom did those things. So what does wisdom do for our lives? The first thing I want you to think about is wisdom helps us fear the Lord. Wisdom helps us fear the Lord. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So what does it do? It helps us fear the Lord. It puts us in a proper perspective with God. If I have wisdom and I put God in my equations, I'm going to think of God first. And I know a lot of people feel like they got this great relationship with God. God's their buddy. God's the man upstairs. You know, God doesn't care what I do. God doesn't care what I say. There are a lot of people out there who have the false impression of who God is. God is a holy God. Yes, he is a loving God, but he's a just God. And, you know, it helps us understand when we think about God and we put God into our equations, you know what? It helps us fear him. It helps us respect him. It helps us to stand in awe of him. Is when I think about him and when I put what I know about him in the equation, it helps me fear him. The second thing is not only does it help us fear him, the purpose of wisdom, it helps make our lives easier. It helps make our lives easier. You say, well, how in the world can wisdom make your life easier? This is how. It's because of the fact that it keeps you out of trouble. You ever been in trouble before? I've been in trouble before. And there's an issue and the problem that comes along with it. The Bible says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So I want you to consider what it's saying here is that if we are willing to yoke up with the Lord, then we can also cause our lives to be a lot easier. Think what the scripture says. It says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. It keeps us out of a lot of trouble. Look what it says in chapter 9. Look what it says in verse 18. Wisdom is better than the weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. You ever met somebody who one person makes a big deal? One person makes a big ruckus. And that's what it's saying here. One sinner destroyeth much good. What wisdom can do, wisdom can help us fear the Lord, but wisdom can make our lives easier by keeping us out of trouble. If we live according to God's plan, if we live according to God's ways, we're not going to have the problems like being hopelessly in debt by loving the wrong things. We're not going to have the problems listening to the wrong things and listening to the wrong music and watching the wrong things and applying certain things. Because why? Because we have wisdom in our lives. I want to encourage you tonight. Wisdom is better than anything else out there. The Bible says that anything you can compare it to, wisdom is something that we can have. And it's something that's available. So yes, wisdom may not be appreciated. I've talked to people before. I was talking to a little guy before church. He was struggling a little bit. I'm not going to say who it was. I tried to give him a little bit of wisdom about, you know, listening to authority. You know, he didn't want to have anything to do with it. He said, uh-uh. But he was really young, and the parent came out, and the parent worked with him, and everything turned out right, and he went in there, and he was happy, and I'm glad it worked out. But at the same time, there are people out there who will not appreciate wisdom. And young people, sometimes, they learn. But there's some older people out there that just don't learn and just don't learn. And they despise the wisdom, even though they live underneath the protection and the guidance and they're the ones that have helped build the nation that they're trying to destroy. They despise it. I want to encourage you, don't give up on wisdom. Wisdom is precious. Wisdom is available. And wisdom has a purpose. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. I'm amazed, Lord, that we know so much truth. Many times we just do not listen to it and we do not apply it. We forget it. Lord, our wisdom many times is unappreciated. There are people who just don't want to hear, just don't want to listen, don't want to have any part of it. And God, in your word, it says there's one person that can cause so much trouble. Thank you for the fact that wisdom is available to us. It can be unappreciated, but many of us are looking for the gold, we're looking for the silver, we're looking for the precious jewels. But Lord, you've told us all we have to do is ask for wisdom. God, and when you, not only is it available, Lord, it's precious. And Lord, it is also something that helps us. It helps us to fear you, help us to understand you. And Lord, not only does it help us understand you, Lord, it helps us to stay out of the trouble that many of us get ourselves into if we would not live by wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.